Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Welcome, Eddie Lenehan here, and thank you for joining us on this, our latest podcast. And before we start, I'd like to thank our sponsors and all those who have helped us to make our podcast possible. Thank you very, very much indeed. Now, this latest podcast will be, the subject will be trees. Trees, they're much in the spotlight of late because, as you all know, without trees, we wouldn't be here. And a great deal of damage is being done to trees all over the world. We hear about carbon footprint, carbon this, that and the other thing, and replanting of trees, cutting down of trees. But trees in Ireland have been in the spotlight, if you could call it that, since time immemorial, as far as the records go back. And I mean that, as far as written records in Ireland go back, trees have been there. And that's a dim place indeed. How far? We hardly know. For example, the Billet Tartan at Ardbrecon in County Meath. That was a huge, huge ash tree. Another one that was mentioned was a great yew tree at Ballochmoon in County Kildare. The Yew of Moon, it was called. Another one that was also a yew tree at Ross in Loughlin in County Carlow. You can see by these that yew trees, of course, are very, very long-lived. And they are long-lived trees. They may grow slowly, but they are long-lived trees. Another one was at Uisneach in County Westmeath. And there were more, of course. And monasteries seem to be founded where these ancient trees grew, because these ancient trees were regarded as in some way sacred. I'm not saying now sacred alone to the Druids, but to ordinary people. because ordinary people must have looked at these huge, huge trees, be they ash trees or oak trees or yew trees, and thought, how long are these here? They're longer here than we are, or our fathers and mothers, or grandfathers or grandmothers. These must be special in some way. And Christianity, when it came, didn't change that all that much. So when what we call saints founded their monasteries, they tended in some way, because Christianity continued the old ways, they didn't cut down these trees. They thought, well, it might be a good policy to continue where these trees were, because to cut them down would only have turned the natives against them. They continued. And I think, now I don't have proof of this, but I think Kildare would have been a good example of this. Kildara. There. Oak. Bridget probably founded her monastery where there was a great oak tree. And oaks are one of those great trees that grow to such a height and last for so, so long. Now, when you take the trees that grow in Ireland, they're all broadleaf trees. Look at the trees that are being planted nowadays by the Forestry Commission. They're horrible trees. They're dark. They provide shelter basically for nothing, and they surround houses in darkness. They're sinister looking, and they destroy the ground. They make the ground a desert when they're cut down. The broadleaf trees, they provide leaf for birds in the branches. They provide life for the animals that we are used to. Badgers, foxes, hedgehogs, all the usual animals that we are used to in Ireland. And for people also, for people who were hunters in early centuries. And think of those trees and the names they had in Ireland, in Irish of course. And start, we'll say, at the most important. And the ones that were mentioned most often. And the ones that were mentioned most often in Ireland were the Cairn. Now, the Cairn, of course, is the Rhone, or the mountain ash. And you ask yourself, why would that have been most important? It was most important because it was, well, right up to modern times, because it was seen by normal people, ordinary people, right up to modern times, as a protector against evil, against pishogues, for example, on May Eve. And it was, on that day, it was wrapped around the churn. It was put under the churn in case a person might be working pishogues against you. And it was not just that, but it was a piece of it was kept in the house as a protection against fire. It was something, it was a protector. There was something sacred against Cairn. And the Druids also used it. It was a favourite of the Druids. And not just that, but there was another one also, one that you might be surprised was a favourite of the Druids. And you ask yourself, why was it a favourite of the Druids? What did they use it for, the Cairn? They used it for dreaming, for prophetic dreams. Because what were the Druids for? The Druids got a bad name for many things when Christianity came in. They were, remember that terrible hymn that was she about St. Patrick, she a clean a three cree her thuraganin va, as if they had bad hearts without any use, without any goodness in them. I don't think St. Patrick would have thought that about the Druids. I think St. Patrick would have found the Druids something like himself, except with a different religion. They were wise men. There were men who, as you see there, they dreamed prophetic dreams. Maybe not the way he would have dreamt them, but to a different God. There were learned men, there were wise men, and that was one of the way they dreamt them, by lying on that rods of Quirin. So they prophesied. You don't prophesy if you're somebody evil. Christians prophesy too. The prophets did the same thing. Then sometimes they might prophesy things that didn't suit you, but that didn't make them evil. So the books of the prophets in the Old Testament, and they often didn't prophesy things that suited the kings. They told them things that the kings were going wrong. But that was yours to do as you pleased when they did prophecy. But the Quirin was one of those trees that was definitely one of the druids' favourites. And then there was hazel, closely related to that. Cull. Cull is hazel. And same associations with prophecy. And an interesting thing about hazel, the River Boyne, as you know, was a most important river because it flows by what we call the great burial chambers at North and Doth and at Newgrange. And very few people know where the Boyne rises, though. But where the Boyne rises, there were supposed to be 9 hazel bushes. And in the nuts of those hazels was supposed to be the source of all wisdom. Now, there's where the druids were anxious always to get those nuts because they provided wisdom. So hazels were very important to the druids. They associated hazels with wisdom. And we know, of course, that the druids, what we call it, a staff, was of hazel. Today, right up to our own time, when a person wasn't sure whether they should build their house on a particular patch of ground, when they were in doubt that there might be a fairy path at that place, what some people used to do was they'd cut 4 hazel sticks of medium size, and where they intended to build their house, they'd put 1 and 1 and 1 and 1 on the 4 corners where they intended to be those corners of their house, and leave those hazel sticks overnight. And if any of those hazel sticks was moved out of its place overnight, don't build on that site, because that was the fairies saying, this is our path, and if you build here, you'll have no peace in this house. Now, I knew people who actually did that, and a person called here to me only last year, 2019, and his wife was kind of edgy. They had bought a new site. And his wife was edgy. She was not sure about the site they bought. And she asked, would we check it in that way? I wasn't going to laugh. It was an awful lot better to check it and put her mind at rest. And we did. We got 4 hazel sticks. My house is surrounded by them here. We got 4 hazel sticks and we went and we put them down as requested on the site where they intended to build the house, 4 corners. And I heard no more about it, so they must have been satisfied. So some people do still believe that such things should be checked. But hazel. So hazel does have that power. And always had that power, which is peculiar. Why not ash? Why not sycamore? Why not any other. No, it's hazel, cull in Irish. Now, I would say the third one in importance would surely have to be white thorn, shgachgal. Some people would say, no, I would say most people would say you should never bring white thorn in bloom into the house. It's regarded as unlucky. It's a lovely flower. It's a lovely, lovely flower in May. It's the May bush, after all. But people say that, no, it's an unlucky thing to bring into the house. Is that because you're taking it from the fairies? I don't know. I don't know. But the lone bush, the fairy bush, right to this very day, is regarded as the lone bush, the Shgach Einar. Most people won't interfere with that. You'll hear people today laughing at the notion that, come on, the fairies that own the lone bush. But how many people will destroy a lone bush, demolish a lone bush? You know yourself about the Shgach at Latoon when they were building the M18. That's a notable case where they built the motorway around the bush. And there have been plenty others, like the one down in Limerick when they were building the factory in 1976, and that factory did not prosper at all. Ferenca. And there have been others in like manner, lesser cases. But I personally wouldn't interfere with a lone bush. Now, you ask yourself, what is a lone bush? I'm often asked to come out and have a look at a lone bush. And you see, a lone bush sometimes is only the remains of a ditch that has been demolished. And you know that. But a lone bush, a real lone bush, is a bush that has been there on its own from time immemorial. You see, there's so much demolition going on now of ditches and fields, small fields being let into one big field for the sake of modern machinery, that it's hard to know what's going on. You have very often now to go to Ordnance Survey maps, 6-inch maps, to have a look back to see what was what in 1912, 19-whatever, and you see the way the landscape has changed hugely. Forts are being demolished, but that's the way progress, I would say progress inverted commas, but progress is progress too, because machinery has got bigger and look, farming has changed. There's no getting away from that, so I mean, you have to move with the times, I suppose. That's the way things are. But lone bushes, luckily, yet, most people do respect them, because the stories are still there of people who didn't and what happened to them. And your health, or your children's health, or your family's health can be affected. It's a well-known fact. Now, that can come from psychological things, concerns, or it can come from physical concerns. I get phone emails there constantly. I had to reply to one last night, and it was a convoluted message of a man who had interfered 25 years ago with a bush that his grandfather had told him not to interfere with. And he did. He demolished it with a tractor and trailer. And ever since, he has had bad luck, this, that and the other thing. And I eventually had to tell him, look, I'm not a psychologist. Please look and try to explain something like that by such an answer. And I'm not. It could be anything. It could be people's own bothers in life getting the better of them. But how well it's there. Oh, well, it's there at the back of their mind that it is something like that that has caused the bother. So these kind of things are there under the surface. Now, the next thing after the white thorn is a peculiar one, the alder. The alder. Not the elder with the white flowers, the alder. That one that appears in marshy ground. That is one that it is unlucky to interfere with, because that's the one that Judas is supposed to have hanged himself on after betraying Christ. And it was always said that leave the alder alone. Judas hanged himself on that. So better to leave it alone, because I think the hint is there that one suicide perhaps, unfortunately, may lead to another. That's the impression I got from older people who told me the story about that one. And there wasn't a great lot of stories about it. For that reason, I think. Because suicide isn't a pleasant subject and people prefer to just hint at it, leave it, and that was that. The Irish for that is Farnog. The next one, Ash, Funchog. Well, of course, everybody loves an ash. Ash is for hurling, and ash is a very well-known one. But how long will it be around now that the dieback has been imported? It is a great to burn. It is great to use. It's a useful tree. It is quick to grow. But a tragedy of modern life now that this cursed disease, like so many diseases in animals and everything else we have imported through carelessness, is taking hold. We'll see. Yew. Like I said, you know, at the start, ash and yew were these two huge trees in ancient literature, ancient trees that seem to have been amazing to our ancestors. Yews, where you'll see them now, is mainly in graveyards. And the reason for that, of course, is that their berries are so poisonous that they have to be behind walls. They poison cattle. And yew is the name of them in Irish. I'll get to those in a moment. There's a very interesting thing about those that I'll finish up with. And holly, quillin. An old man told me one time, a very interesting thing about quillin, and we'll all be coming up now to Christmas, and quillin, red-berried holly, will be all in the market. But in a way, it is a pity, because holly grows extremely slowly, and red-berried holly, I forget which of them, is it male or female holly is the one that you have red berries on? But to be taking away the red berries from holly slows down the growth even further. And holly, well, it's not a common plant anywhere. And this quillin, the old man told me the story that if you want to cut holly, he said, you should only cut it at night and ask its permission to cut it. Now, I don't know whether you'll get its permission, whether it'll answer you or not. But he said, and he was a great man for plants. He was a great naturalist, the same man. But he said, you should always ask its permission and only cut it by night. An interesting little story. Now, the next one, I'm taking these from top to bottom. And the littlest one, in one sense, was Sally's, osiers. And the Irish word for Sally's is salyuk. Salyuk. And of course, they were the most useful, if you want to call them tree or a shrub, I don't know. But they grow in marshy ground, and they were most useful for thatching. Because you twisted them and you used them for the holding down the thatch. And many people, thatchers, they grew their own sallies in a patch of sallies. And I knew one old man around here, John Noon. He is dead now, God rest the man. But he was very, very proud of his patch of sallies. He was the last man around here who grew his own patch of sallies. And Very, very proud of them. But I don't. There's nobody around here growing them now because there's no thatch left in the parish. Pity, but that's the way things go. And I left oak, which is the biggest, for last, because not so far from here, because oak is there. And we're near the Slieve Ochty Mountains here. Now, when we say Slieve, they're high hills, really, on the Clare Galway border. And one time, there must have been a huge oak forest here. And it survives in the Irish names. Irish is wonderful. The Irish place names are wonderful to give you, all over Ireland, to give you an idea of what was, and maybe often what no longer is. Because if you hear the Irish names that are along that borderland, the Slieve Ochtys, Derry Moor, Derry Wee, Derry Ulk, Derry Halla, Derry Nigleirach, Derry Huma, Derry Gariff, and Derry Nguilin. And there's more right out all along to the River Shannon. All Derry. There was one huge oak forest, obviously. Now, if you look at those, they all had a meaning. For example, Derry Nigleirach, clergy. Probably in Elizabethan times, when the clergy were on the run, they sheltered there, Derry Nigleirach. And Derry na Gullion, the oak wood of the holly. Yeah, it was a mixed plantation, you might say. At least holly could grow there. There'll be no holly growing in the old plantations that have been planted by the forestry. And Derry Ulk, there's something sinister about that. Ulk, evil. Derry Ulk, Ulk, evil. And Derry Gariff, Derry Gariff, Derry Gariff, the rough oak forest. Lovely names, beautiful names that mean something, every one of them. And then over in the County Galway, as almost a continuation of that, you have Derry Bryan, you know, the little town of village of Derry Bryan. And then, as we all know, Derry, in County Derry, Derry Columbkiller, which later in under British influence turned into Londonderry when the London Company took it over. But it was originally Derry Columbkiller, the oak wood of St. Columbkill. And you have Kildare, St. Bridget's one, as I said. And if you go to Tipperary, you have Temple Derry, Temple Derry. And you have more and more and more of them. All you have to do is study the Ordnance Survey maps. But sadly, I have been told many times by the old people, you ask yourself, where does beech come into all of this? Because beech is a mighty tree. A tree very often planted by the landlords in their great estates. Well, I suppose Irish people were so busy looking in over the high walls at these great trees that when they got their independence, when we got our independence, we get in over the walls and cut them down as fast as we could. Well, sadly, that's partly true, because I have been told time and time again by old people that I was visiting and recording that as soon as these big estates were broken up and the Land Commission took over, shame on them, that they sold these trees, and travelling, what do I call it? Sawmills. Travelling sawmills came around and they cut down the timber just for planking. They cut down these great trees and just sold them for planking. Fine trees, healthy trees, they just sold them for planking. There was nothing wrong with the trees. They were beautiful trees, There was nothing, there was never any thought of, aren't these lovely things to leave there? No, they were a lot better to just get rid of them and sell them and take them into Limerick or take them into Galway or somewhere and just saw them up. They were too big for firewood, so just saw them up. And these travelling sawmills went around cutting them up. It was a shame. It was a disgrace. I have just taken out the trees out of the Ordnance Survey map. And you just look over that same Ordnance Survey map and you pick those trees. I pick out, for example, Cullen in County Cork, Quillen, Holly, My Cullen in County Galway, the Plain of the Holly, and on and on and on. And you'll find them all over the place. And you say, well, look, there are places where there might be no such thing now. But what I would suggest is that what children in school might be taught is, here's Irish. Here's a way of teaching Irish. An interesting way of teaching Irish. Give them a map and ask them, pick out something like trees. Go over the map and give them a section of the map. And here's for you. And pick out a number of names, place names, that have the name of a tree in them. And give them a little prize for, be it oaks, ash, trees of whatever kind. And you'll find them, they'll find them, and they'll remember them. They'll remember names after they have played a game with them, rather than teaching them grammar or anything else. It's a kind of... children love that. They love games, but games to teach them language. I think it's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.